Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It is written, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. It is written, and these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
For God is just a prayer away.
And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father in heaven, we hallow thy name. May thy kingdom holy on earth be the same. O give to us daily our portion of bread. It is from thy bounty that all must be fed. Forgive our transgressions and teach us to know that humble compassion that pardons each foe. Keep us from temptation, from weakness and sin. And thine be the glory forever. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message entitled, The King on His Throne. Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. Notice that it says, the Son of Man. It is a man that shall sit on the throne of his glory to judge the human race. In this event, he is also called the King. But the King is the Son of Man. That is significant because on the day of judgment, no one will be able to say, Lord, you don't know what it was like to be a member of a minority race. You don't know what it was like to be a street person and at times have no place to sleep on a cold night. You didn't know what it was like to be unjustly accused, beaten, and executed for crimes you never committed. Now, you didn't know what temptations I endured. To all such charges, Jesus, as the Son of Man, will say, Oh, yes, I do. Because, you see, it is the Son of Man that will sit on the throne of judgment. It is a man that will judge the human race. Remember, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men and being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. The Son of Man will sit on the throne of judgment, and with him will be all the angels. He calls himself the Son of Man, but he is also called the King by those who are gathered for judgment. God also highly exalted him and hath given him a name that is above every name in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He, the Son of Man, will judge the nations. This judgment of nations is the same as the Great White Throne judgment. They are the same because the results are the same. In the judgment of nations, the goats were told to depart into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. In the Great White Throne judgment, those who were not in the Lamb's Book of Life were cast into the lake of fire. The results were the same for the lost. There is no way it can be said that there were two different judgments. Before him were gathered all the nations, and he separated them as a shepherd separated the sheep from the goats. Sheep on the right hand, goats on the left. We think of the right and left as conservative and liberal. Thank God Jesus is not a liberal. The approved were on the right. Jesus believed in the virgin birth. He said before Abraham was born, I am. He believed in the inspiration of the Scriptures. He told the apostles, The Holy Spirit, when he has come, will guide you into all the truth and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you. Thank God, Jesus was not a liberal. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. Does that mean that he will put the United States, England, France and Canada on the right hand, and Russia, China, and Iraq on the left? The United States has its share of goats, and there are also some sheep in Russia and Iraq. So it is the people of these nations that are separated. There are sheep and goats in all the nations. There are sheep and goats in all political parties. There are Republican goats and Democratic goats. There are sheep and goats in all cities, sheep and goats in every profession. There are goats among preachers and sheep among preachers, sheep and goats in all church memberships. There are sheep and goats in all families. Many a wife is a sheep and the husband a goat. Many a sheepish husband has a goat for a wife. Sheep and goats in every possible situation. While all will be judged as individuals, there is a sense that nations can be judged. America will be judged regarding the law concerning abortion, as well as a devilish prayer amendment. Not only will judgment fall on the courts, the Congress, and presidents, but also on every person who was in favor of these laws. There's enough guilt to go around for all. From the schoolboy who complains about prayer or the Ten Commandments in the schoolyard he attends, on up to the justice of the Supreme Court. In abortion, there is a guilt enough to spread out from the lawmaker to the 15-year-old high school girl who gets an abortion, as well as her boyfriend. Judgment will fall heavy on America regarding homosexuality. There is guilt enough for the individual as well as the straight person that regarded it as an alternate lifestyle. There's guilt enough to go around for the drug traffic, from the drug pusher to the respectable drunkard who calls himself an alcoholic. Remember, the Son of Man said all the nations. That term, all the nations, rings a bell. We remember how the Son of Man gave the Great Commission in Matthew, and he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." The Son of Man wants his gospel to be preached to all the nations, and he will judge all nations in how they respond to the gospel. Evidently, he has the same plan of salvation for all the nations. What Peter said on the day of Pentecost was not only for Jews, but also for all nations. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Son of Man, is the universal judge with a universal gospel and a universal plan of salvation for the universal human race. On that day, he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Jesus will be able to tell a sheep from a goat. Sometimes we can't tell the difference ourselves. But Paul told Timothy, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." Ladies and gentlemen, there will be no mix-up on the day of judgment. No goats will be mixed in with the sheep, and no sheep mixed in with the goats. Neither will there be any that look like half goat and half sheep. Everyone will be saved or lost, in the church or out of the church, either a sheep or a goat. Paul reminds us in Romans 14, "So then, we shall all give account of ourselves unto God." The king said unto them on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Ladies and gentlemen, think about that. The sheep on the right hand will receive an inheritance. Now, an inheritance is a gift. The one who gives the inheritance wants those who receive it to have it. When it is received, the inheritance is just as much theirs as it was to the one who left it. What a revelation that will be for the goats when they hear the Son of Man tell the sheep they are blessed of the Father and will have an inheritance. The evolutionists will be astounded that such ignoramuses could be so highly regarded by the Father. He told the sheep on his right hand to come. He asked them to draw closer. Get away from those goats. I've got something to tell you. Does not the Lord give us the same invite as Christians today while here on this side of Jordan? Each and every Lord's Day we are urged to get away from those stinking, smelly goats and draw closer to the Lord. He has something to tell us. This happens at the Lord's Supper when we draw near to the Lord as we partake of the loaf and drink of the cup. It is good sometimes to get away from those smelly goats we associate with all week for a few hours and be alone with Jesus. The Son of Man told the sheep that he had been hungry, thirsty, naked, the stranger, in prison, sick, and they, the sheep, had ministered unto him. The righteous did not remember doing any of these things. The Son of Man told them that whatever they did for the least of these my brethren, they had done unto him. Notice that all these things that the sheep had done were simple things that all of us can do. You do not have to possess any special talent like singing, preaching, or writing. Whatever we do for the Lord's brethren, we do for him. He asked one time, "Who is my brother, and who is my mother? He that doeth the will of my Father in heaven is my sister and brother and mother." When we perform these good works, for the members of the Lord's church, it is the same as doing it for him. It is important to notice that the sheep are called righteous. Now, what does a person do to become righteous? Paul says in 2 Corinthians that him who knew no sin was made to be sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The sheep were made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is why the Son of Man did not mention any of their sins on the judgment day. Only their good works are mentioned, because Paul says in Hebrews, I will be merciful unto their iniquities, and their sins will I remember no more. However, it would be a mistake for people to come to the conclusion that good works is the key to heaven. Remember, the blood is not mentioned in this story, told by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Faith is not mentioned. Grace is not mentioned. Repentance is not mentioned. Baptism is not mentioned. These good works, however, are the result of their relationship with Jesus and his blood. Notice also that the Son of Man told the sheep that what they did for the least of these my brethren, ye did also unto me. Not merely what we do for the greatest of these, but the least of these, my brethren. It is easy to get carried away in our efforts to bless the greatest of these, my brethren, but service to the least is not lost in the notice of the Son of Man. It is a well-known, if a well-known servant of God gets sick, we may come from miles around to pray for such an important brother, and rightly so. Compassion shown to the least of these is the same as shown to Christ. But how many times do we make the effort to give the same ministering to one who is not known beyond the local congregation? What we do for the least of these, my brethren, is noted by the Son of Man just as much as to the gifted brother. Jesus said, even if you give to drink a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, you shall in no wise lose your reward. Not only is this true in regards to prayer, but in a matter of giving as well. The rich philanthropist is praised for the large gifts to a church or Bible college. Usually some sort of recognition is given. Their name or picture is inscribed with a small gift goes unnoticed. There is one supporter to this broadcast who sometimes sends a quarter to help this program keep on the air. This lady spends 37 cents to send 25 cents. Then I spend 37 cents to write a thank you note to this dear soul for 25 cents. It looks like the Lord is going in the hole on this deal. Then I remembered the widow's mite. I solved the problem by putting the quarter in my pocket and throwing a dollar into the Lord's account. Maybe an Einstein could figure out it better, but at least I am careful to take note of the least gift as well as the larger one. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. The goats would not associate with the Lord's people while on earth, and now the Lord will not associate with them in eternity. He told the sheep to come and told the goats to depart. Heaven was designed for the sheep. Hell was not designed for the goats. Hell was designed for the devil and his angels. But since the goats followed the devil, the Lord lets them share the hell that was designed for the devil. The man who bombed all those people in Oklahoma several years ago said before he was executed, if there is a hell, I will adjust to it. In a similar manner, the sheep will have to adjust to living with Jesus and all the angels in eternity. It will be a big adjustment for the sheep, living in a place where there is no more need for hospitals, no more need for jails, no more need for undertakers, no more wars, no more murders, no more drugs. Personally, I'm going to enjoy adjusting to a place like heaven. Some folk have a hard time believing a God would send anyone to hell. They say God would not let anyone suffer like that. How about all those suffering people going on right now? Millions are hungering. Millions are in pain. And how about the floods, hurricanes, and tornadoes? And yet, God in his goodness allows them to continue in suffering. How about Noah and the flood? Did God welcome all those sinners into heaven and leave poor old Noah to wrestle around with the flood? It is obvious we have to look somewhere else for the explanation of hell than the goodness of God. So don't blame God. Some like to ask, why does God let kids in school shoot each other? Why does not a good and loving God prevent that? Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way that God can stop all that mayhem in school, because he is not allowed by law to come into the school. So you have to look somewhere else for the answer. Hell, or Gehenna, is a place named after the garbage dump outside of ancient Jerusalem. All kinds of dead animals and garbage were continually burning there. The Lord uses hell, or Gehenna, as a figure of hell. In other words, it is obvious that the Lord looks upon the goats as garbage. No matter how rich, educated, or great, or sophisticated you may be in the minds of men, the simple truth of the matter is, without Jesus Christ on the day of judgment as your Lord and Master, you are nothing but garbage. You will be hauled out like the garbage on that day when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory. Notice also that the Son of Man did not mention the gross sins of the goats, such as murder, adultery, drugs, drunkenness, and robbery. The only sins mentioned was what they did not do. The only sins mentioned in this version of the judgment day were the sins of omission, not what they did, but what they did not do. They omitted doing things that anybody could have done. One of the greatest insults of disdain that many have of their fellow man is to tell them to go to hell. Perhaps every day you will hear someone tell somebody to go there. Go to a place that they will tell you they don't believe in. Remember that Jesus is the most loving, caring, compassionate person who ever lived on this earth. But when the incarnate Son of God tells somebody to go to hell, that has a horror to it that is more terrible beyond words to explain. Jesus spent over 3 years in his ministry on earth. His two longest recorded sermons were the first and the last. The first sermon he preached on the Sermon on the Mount, the last sermon before he went to the cross that was preached for the public's consumption, anyway, was an answer to the question, what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? The last part of this last sermon before his crucifixion was his prediction of the judgment day. This was a reminder and a warning that the judgment day is coming. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. In conclusion, we cannot help but notice how this chapter ends and how the next begins. It concludes with these words, "These shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The next verse, in the start of the next chapter, says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these words, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days the Passover cometh, and the Son of Man is delivered up to be crucified." That is a microcosm of the gospel. The story of the judgment of nations starts with the Son of Man sitting on the throne of his glory and ends up on the cross. That is what the gospel story is all about. His birth tells how he left the throne of his glory to die on the cross for us. His coming again tells how he will come to sit on the throne of his glory to judge the world. Remember the prediction of Paul on Mars Hill. God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all the nations, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
Oh.